are listening to Fast Track Podcast, the place to be to fast track your personal finance or fast track your business or both. Through a series of conversations with those who have learned it, done it, and made it. Before starting the episode, I have very exciting news to share with you. I am collaborating with financial imagineer Matthias Richter to launch the Fast Track Money course. This six-week online course is designed to help young professionals in their 20s to early 40s to learn how to save more, earn more, and invest, using money as a tool to fulfill your dreams. We teach you the proven method that Matthias has been using himself in the last 20 years and achieved financial independence. So sign up today on fasttrack.live/moneycourse to transform your relationship with money from today. Welcome to Fast Track Podcast. We have Joe, Bear, and Isaac. And today we are going to talk about entrepreneurship and tech startup. And to start with, maybe I will give the floor to you guys. You can tell us a little bit about yourself, let the audience to get familiarized with you.
Sure, I'll jump right in there. My name is Isaac. My background is in multimedia, but first got involved in cryptocurrency back in 2016.
I'm Bear. I have a technical background in my education and work experiences, but the majority of my background is as an entrepreneur. And I've been involved in the cryptoverse for about 6 years now, but this is actually the first company I've been a part of that is focused in this sector. So I'm really excited for this team and what we can accomplish here.
I'm Joe. Nice to meet all of you. I have a daytime job, and then I started going into blockchain and startups about 3-4 years ago. And this is one of the more concrete ones that I have. Yeah, together with Isaac and Bear. Yeah.
Okay, so we have people here who are very experienced with blockchain and in the crypto world since, let's say, even 5-6 years ago. And compared to the majorities, you guys are how to call it, the gurus in the space. So that's why I find it so exciting, because even it's, let's say, Bitcoin 11 years, 12 years or so, but people who are in the blockchain space, even if it's just a few years, you have already gained so much more experiences. Things change all the time. But today, our main topic is about your startup and also your experiences while starting this project. So my first question on behalf of our audience is, why did you choose to become an entrepreneur and to choose to start a blockchain project?
Okay, yeah. Maybe each of us have a bit of different why. So for me, why I wanted to do something on, let's say, on the site in addition to my daytime job is, yeah, because of my daytime job, actually, I'm in product design. It's a physical product. And because of that experience, you have a different ways of thinking, different mindsets, different tools that we use compared to my previous marketing life. And because of that, I think there was this need that grew inside me, where I really love the idea and the act of creating things, innovating and all that. And then I guess we were very much into blockchain and cryptocurrencies, like many others, of course. And at least for my side, I thought that it would be nice if I could combine starting out something that is blockchain based. Yeah. So that's a little bit more on my side. Yeah.
For me, I'm not sure as much of a choice. My belief system and personality are heavily rooted in autonomy. And I don't believe there's a better outlet there than running your own company. So that's where I fall as being an entrepreneur.
Understood. Yeah. I'm with Bear there and think that a lot of it has to do with freedom of being an entrepreneur. So yeah, I'm with Bear there and Joe as well.
And talking about freedom, this one sentence I really like, also as a result of being an entrepreneur, is that you can work whenever you want, wherever you want, with whomever you want, on whatever project you want. That's like ultimate freedom.
Right. Absolutely.
And how did you find each other as co-founders, since you guys are in the US, Joe in Switzerland? What's the story?
Yeah, that's a good question. So Bear and I actually met through a popular Bitcoin forum. And Joe and I connected through LinkedIn. We began meeting weekly and sharing ideas, and we quickly realized each other's strengths and decided to work towards, you know, a common goal, which in this case was building a fun, user-friendly product in a pretty complex space.
How long did you guys chat it online before you started this company? Before you started, okay, let's do this project together.
I'm not sure of exact timelines, but I would say probably 8 months to a year. Yeah.
More or less, yeah.
I like this story because I oftentimes hear people say, oh, I cannot find co-founders. It's very difficult for me to meet the right people. But this is one of the many examples that co-founders actually found each other through the internet. With the power of internet, the world is actually quite flat. And coming back to your, you know, team, how did you manage to, with different time zones and locations, is there a system that you deploy?
I just wanted to mention about the weekly meetings that we decided to do. Bear and Isaac, they are in US, so on the Eastern time. And then I'm here in Switzerland, right? So, of course, it has to be afternoon for me, so it's morning for the two of them. Yeah, I mean, I just want to say that I think a lot of things happen for three of us rather naturally. It's not by accident. I don't mean that. That means we knew that, let's say, some things need to be in place before we embark on certain things, but it felt very natural that things came into place between the three of us. So in layman's term, I guess you can call that chemistry.
Yeah, the stars aligned. Right.
Yeah. Internet dating with chemistry. That's actually a very good point. What do you think are the, I say, key elements to have a good co-founder relationship?
Maybe I can say something about this. Based on what three of us have experienced right together in this journey, we believe that really, really crucial elements are the co-founders need to have, let's say, a common belief or a common mindset at least. Yeah, of course, we can have a slightly different vision, but what is important is the founders will need to align a vision moving forward, right? Because you can't really have too many different directions, and worst case will be opposing directions. So you need to align them if they are. And then it's really about being very transparent, upfront sharing, openly sharing. I think, was it Bear or Isaac already mentioned the respect for one another's expertise, experience. And underlying all this is having trust in one another and being flexible. Yeah, because it's a startup at the end of the day. We can have an idea, we can have a plan, but we must be super flexible to adapt if there's a need to, yeah. This will be the elements we believe, yeah.
What about Bear and Isaac? Do you have anything to add on?
Yeah, I was just gonna say, I think when you share a common interest and a passion for something, that is definitely what brought us together and what brought us to the point where we are very close and we speak on a daily basis. We all share the same love and passion for crypto in general.
When you say passion and love, how do you know it is your passion and love? I ask this question because lots of people, they're working 9 to 5 and they want to become entrepreneur. They want to start a business, but they ask themselves, what is my passion? I don't know what to do. How would you answer that question?
Right. Yeah. I would say the interest that you have that's outside of your day job and that you can't get enough of, that would be considered that's what I would consider a passion, something that you do on your off time, whether that's photography or reading about new blockchain projects. I think having that interest beyond your daily life and just basically being absorbed by it, you will be able to tell your interest, what interests you outside of what you're currently being paid for, what interests you outside of your daily life. And if something consumes your daily life, then it's probably a safe bet to say you're passionate about it.
That's a very good answer. And early on, Bear, you mentioned that you have been entrepreneur almost all your life, and your belief system that autonomy is a very important element. Where did you get that from? Did you always feel that way, or is it because there are certain events triggered you think like that?
Sure. I think it's a combination of personality as well as the motions and events of working for an employer and seeing the transition of working for yourself and comparing the two. You can see the night and day difference there.
It's very hard to go back anymore.
Yeah.
And so now you three of you come together, work on this project called Dual Vest. Maybe you can, one of you or all of you can tell the audience a little bit about what is Dual Vest, how users can get involved, and what are the benefits they get from this project.
Yes, I'll take this one. So the Duoverse is a play-to-earn gaming platform where members can play online games, interact with Verse to earn off-chain tokens, as well as purchase unique NFTs we created in-house. And our first game is a V-mining simulator, which takes users through the experience of actually mining a cryptocurrency without the need for any monetary investments, nor technical knowledge, or how to set up a rig or the software. In return, users earn our off-chain token Vana, which can then be converted into other site tokens, or they can stack it and save it for future use cases. The one aspect of V-mining we hope to emulate with our other new game releases or future use cases is the actual integration that we're doing with our physical products, which are Duo cards. And so with our next card release, members can actually buy packs of cards, and within the pack, get a card that's specific to V-mining, which can unlock new hardware or help fuel their mining operation. So right now, you know, anyone can jump in and start V-mining.
How did you come up with this idea?
A lot of brainstorming, a lot of bouncing around ideas. I don't know if there's one bulletproof answer there. It was an evolved process over months.
And currently, how can people join this project? You mentioned about they can play and earn. How does it work specifically?
So you can go ahead and sign up. Anyone can sign up through the registration there. You only need a couple forms to enter. And then you go to our V-mining page, and then there will be a list of different levels of rigs to mine from. The first one's unlocked for free for users to get the feel for it, as well as a user guide there. They can walk them through the process. And then once they start accumulating more Vana, they can use that to unlock further levels.
Can people use Vana for other purposes? What about like in real life? Is there anything down the road in the roadmap?
Sure. So right now, Vana can be saved, or you can convert over to our utility token, which is then used for purchasing NFTs. And we do plan on offering more use cases, which we're still baking out. And one of our large goals is eventually the possibility of having this token be exchangeable for a native token that we launch.
Mm-hmm. And since it's a blockchain project, involves NFT, involves token, and three of you started this project, how did you manage to develop so many functions and the technical layer development within such a short period of time? Because you mentioned like you know each other for 8 months and you started this project. I think how long did it take you to develop this?
Yeah, so the initial concept was built upon something that we're all super familiar and comfortable with, which are physical trading cards like Pokemon, Magic. And we were able to combine physical cards with non-fungible assets as a means to attract collectors and create a fun, simple game that anyone can participate in. So this was our initial concept that is about, we launched January 2021, and the Duoverse is something that they complement each other. So they work together. And I guess to answer your question, it was a process of probably about a year in the making, but yeah, things actually happened much quicker than we anticipated. There were a lot of hurdles along the way, a lot of things that we weren't sure were possible and that we were able to achieve in a relatively short period of time, considering where we are today. I think it's a lot of hard work. I know we've all spent and dedicated a lot of time. And when I say a year, these are days where we could be working, you know, 15-hour days to get where we are. So I think the time span of a year could be a bit misleading because this was an active year of collaboration and bouncing ideas around and figuring out what made the most sense.
Actually, before I interviewed someone on my podcast, and then how he did it is called Thomas Spa Coyote, is exactly like what you said. So once a while in a year, he fast track whatever he's working on. So for example, if average person works 40 hours per week, then you get 40 hours output if your productivity is 100%. And he just tried 100 hours per week. And in 1 month, he did 400 hours. And usually the other people, the output is 160 hours. In a way, you can like five times or six times the output. And then if you maintain a high productivity, that's how he did it. And like what you did is exactly the same, but it's the whole year, not just 1 month.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Besides the hours you put into, what helps you to make this projects that come to life so in such a short period of time?
Maybe I can add here is I think we were three of us agreed quite from the earlier part of the journey when we were developing or even before we developed that we are not going to overdo it. Yeah, we're going to have the recording we had earlier, MVP. So we're going to have something that we believe that will entice enough early adopters. Okay, keep them interested, keep them coming, create the account, coming to our platform to play the MVP. So we agreed on that. And I think that helped really a lot because if not, we might have spent a lot of time continuing to debate what about this feature, what about that feature. And in the end, if we want to do like a lot of features, then obviously that's going to take longer time. And actually, to be really transparent and honest, even though we said that at the beginning, I think maybe halfway through the journey, and I was the guilty one, I forgot about that and started dreaming about, let's say, a more ideal product. And it was Isaac that gave a caution. Hey guys, remember what we said, right? It's let's have something that is a minimum at the start that is good enough, that we believe is good enough. And so having so deciding what is it you really want to do, let's say if it's an MVP, then agree on or find out what are the MVP features that is required in the MVP, and then you launch it and develop it and launch it in the MVP. That's how we can do it faster as well. Yeah.
That's actually a very valid point because lots of perfectionists out there, if you're listening, and people want to make it perfect before they start actually launch it or bring it to the market. Sometimes it's better just to do it, take action, bring it to the market, than waiting for the perfect moment.
Correct, correct. Especially so for a digital product, right? So now Duoverse, not the Duo Collectibles, which is a physical card backed by NFT, but Duoverse is literally a digital product, right? Companies that have a digital product, I think is really the best model to use is MVP, right? Have something decent out there, good enough, get it out there, let users come and either pay for it or give us their personal data for it, means you have commercialized it. And then you can upgrade along the way because since it's a digital product, the upgrade is seamless rather than a physical product. Yeah,
that's true. And for you guys individually, what is the biggest challenge for you being an entrepreneur?
Thinking this one through here. The biggest challenge being an entrepreneur, that's... I guess... it's a double-edged sword with the whole autonomy thing. So at the same time, we have this freedom to do what you want, when you want, and work when you need to. It's the same as on the other side of the coin there is being disciplined to make sure you're getting what needs to be done on time. I guess it would be a big challenge for me as an entrepreneur, but that's just trying to find something here. Overall, for the lifestyles, it's really important.
Right. Yeah. And to piggyback off of that, I would say for me, the most challenging is that when I worked a job that was 9 to 5, when I left at 5 o'clock, I didn't care what happened to the project. And this is a 24 ordeal here. If a user has issues at 4 o'clock in the morning, my time, I will gladly assist them through the process. But I think that's the biggest thing is when you work a 9 to 5 job, when you're done at 5 o'clock, you're done, and there's nothing else to worry about, whereas this is a 24/7 thing.
Yeah, that's a great point. I changed my answer to that one. It's a good one.
Yeah, to piggyback off that also, for me, it's also about time management, because I have my daytime job, and then is to find, and the daytime job is actually pretty tiring actually. So I can't really find a lot of time on the weekdays because I have a newborn baby. Yes, it's literally trying to find a spare time. You really need to be flexible. There are certain enjoyment things like watching TV or this, you have to give up if you want your startup to work. And actually linking back to what Isaac said earlier about the passion, right? If you really start out, if you start up something that is truly your passion, then it's easier to, let's say, make some sacrifices along the way or even more sacrifices along the way so that you can hopefully succeed. Yeah.
If you choose it voluntarily, maybe it's not a sacrifice, right? If you look at it, watching TV versus working on your own project. And coming back to what Isaac said, this is like 24/7 thing. which is so true. But do you feel more energetic and passionate, even though it's 24/7 versus is like a 9-to-5 job? You do it voluntarily, yeah?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, like I would much prefer working 24 hours on a project that we built as a team and that we're super passionate about than working for some job that I don't care what happens to the company when I leave at 5 o'clock. Like, I don't care. And this is the opposite. I am passionate, and yeah, I wouldn't choose any other route than what we're doing now. Like, I am content working 24 hours a day. It's much preferred compared to a 9-to-5 for me.
Yeah, totally understand. It's much more fulfilling. It's your own project, and then you care about all the details, you care about all the users, you care about if there's a bug, you want to fix it. And yesterday I was listening to one of this podcast. This is the employee number 30 of Facebook. And he said back then when he was working at Facebook, he would receive an email from Mark Zuckerberg at 3 a.m. telling him there's a typo in the user manual. I think only when you have your own project, you're an entrepreneur, you would do that kind of thing, because this is intrinsically you're motivated. And then coming back to about this entrepreneurship, the journey, your experience so far, what would you say is your biggest learning that you have not thought about before starting on being an entrepreneur?
I don't know if it pertains to not being an entrepreneur, but for this project, the most important thing I've learned is the immense value of having a solid team in place for a startup, the collaboration here and ability to bounce ideas off invested partners. It's game-changing for anyone trying to take on a project on their own, which is all my previous endeavors have been solo-led. So it's a huge benefit, that something I haven't seen before. And thankfully, this wasn't a lesson learned the hard way, but it certainly helped put things into perspective with those previous endeavors.
And Isaac and Joe, what would you think is the biggest learnings that you take out from your entrepreneurial journey?
Yeah, I would say, I think if you start a project, or you're involved in a project with a group of people, if it's a team project, you have to be very comfortable and respectful of each other. And I guess I would say that a team that you connect with and you have that chemistry, to me, the most important aspect of working on a project like this.
Correct. I'm going to build off what Isaac said, because it's the same point for us. That's why I said we are like-minded. Really, I think what Isaac said is really the key. Why is the key? Because we're building something new, right? That means that on the flip side, if we do not have the chemistry to openly share ideas or even challenging each other's ideas, we might not be able to, let's say, derive a better product. It could have ended up as a slightly more inferior product. Inferior in the sense where it's not what the user wants, 100%. That's my definition of inferiority. But then it's not easy to, it doesn't happen everywhere, every time, that you can very comfortably say what you want to say. And while you're saying, people listen to it. And then when it's time for you to listen, you listen to it. So yeah, chemistry, I think that's the word. And maybe the key point here is, this is not just for startups, right? Even established companies, a team can only start to deliver, I think, when they have this element of chemistry that is probably built upon trust, I think, yeah. And then they can really go and deliver, yeah.
This is very well said. So then coming back to the project, so now we have seen you have very good chemistry. A very strong co-founding team. Each of you have different backgrounds and the complementing skills. How you want to take your project to the next level, and what's coming next?
Maybe I can take this one. So let us answer in a more holistic answer, because actually what we have is more than Duoverse, right? So before I answer your questions, we just take a step back on the journey. So in January this year, we launched the Duo Collectibles, which is the physical collectible cards based on blockchain events, crypto pioneers, blah, 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 so on and so forth. So that's the concept. And we had a wave one and then followed by a wave two, because wave one sold out very then. So we decided to do this platform, the digital platform called Duoverse, that Bear was explaining what is it all about, to complement the collectible cards. So what we have now embarked already is like an ecosystem for the three of us. And specifically for Duoverse, there are upgrades planned along the way until next year. Okay, so it's improvement in the box, and we're going to introduce a new in-game utility token as well. Yeah, so all these people can check out on our website. But the bigger picture here is like that. So we decided to actually to launch products first before we go for our native token cryptocurrency launch, also known as funding, right? Yeah, because yeah, we probably a lot of companies do it the other way. A lot of companies launch a currency, get the funds in, and then they start development. So I don't know, I think three of us thought, let's maybe we try it differently, because it would be probably more credible if we are able to have a base of a solid base of users first that we collected from our two games, and then we go for our native currency launch. So the bigger picture is like that. So towards the end of this year, or maybe early next year, we are planning to launch our technical white that will include details on the blockchain idea that we want to do, yeah, in the near future. That will be end of the year or early next year. And then sometime in April, May next year, 2022, that's the time we are planning to launch our native cryptocurrency, our native token. And then, of course, we have some other products in the pipeline that is lined up after the native currency launch. But unfortunately, because it's a bit sensitive, so today we are actually not ready to share it yet. Yeah. But there are things coming out in the roadmap. And once our white paper is released end of this year, that will be the time where we will update our roadmap to review more of what is really coming after the native token currency. And the roadmap can be found on the Duoverse website, yeah, that we will update regularly.
I really like this approach. If you start to build a community, then actually you are giving the community member much more confidence, because you deliver the product first and introduce the token. While many other projects introduce the token with a promise, then they deliver the product, if they deliver the product later. One last question, just out of curiosity. What do you think about NFT nowadays? Everywhere, everybody is talking about NFT.
Who would like to take that one? Yeah, I could take a shot if.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So I think the technology that powers non-fungible tokens is very powerful, and it can be used in a lot of different future use cases that I think a lot of people are not really considering at this point. Absolutely, there are some people working on projects that are going to bring NFTs to a point where they're actually providing use and value, whereas now it's art, and art is a weird market. My opinion on NFTs, I would say that I'm uncertain of the future in regards to the art used to create these NFTs, but I do believe that the underlying technology can be used to power some very revolutionary projects in the future.
Yes, it's probably the same thoughts that three of us have, because so our current two products are based on NFT, right? I think as of today, you can see us as, let's say, rooted in NFT. Yeah. And we like what Isaac said, we believe that whatever that is happening now with NFT, yeah, all the GIFs and images and all that, then into art and all that, this is really just the start. Yeah, this is the tip of the iceberg. The underlying technology can really do much more. It's not only NFT, right? I would say that blockchain as a whole, this decentralized ledger technology as a whole. Of course, the fungible side has already expanded more into more real-world use cases like DeFi or whatever, and NFT is still rather beginning. But we three of us really believe strongly that NFT can do much more to let's say, make the world more efficient and more effective. In daily use cases.
Absolutely. Yeah, I agree with Joe there.
One other thing that we're doing here, which is great, is bridging the gap between the digital aspect and the physical. So with these cards, with the NFTs tied to them, you can get a physical card in your hand, as well as have the code to redeem on the back that had the NFT digital version, which I think is a great aspect, especially for users who are still trying to enter the NFT space and get a grasp on how it all works.
Very interesting. So I hope some of the audience, if they're interested in NFTs and genuinely interested in knowing or understanding more about Duoverse, since I really like the fact that you deliver products and then you introduce the token, the fundraising later, and then there is a real utility built in into the whole ecosystem. If you are interested, check out the website. I will leave in the show notes. And if you are into entrepreneurship and want to start your tech startup and want to learn more about those guys, you can follow them on LinkedIn. And is there any other place they can reach out to you? Any Twitter accounts or any Instagram?
Yeah.
Yes, you can follow us on Instagram at the Duoverse.
Yeah.
And the best place to actually keep up with the project would probably be the site itself. We're constantly making updates and making slight changes to the roadmap. Yeah, I think that's the best place to find us.
Okay, then I will leave them in the show notes and then they can check it out. And thank you guys so much for being here with us. And today I just feel like today we have this interview and let's see 1 year later, maybe it's even harder to get you guys on the interview here because you will be so big.
We'll make time for you.
Yeah, thank you so much. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you.
Thank you, Yasu.
I hope you enjoyed this episode of Fast Track Podcast. Show me your support by liking this episode and sharing it with a friend. Join the Facebook group at Fast Track Podcast 1, or you can find us on Instagram, YouTube, and of course the homepage, fasttrack.life. See you in the next episode.